Well then, with the Lord's care and help, we turn to the chapter we read in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And so on. When Isaiah was writing and prophesying, he was often having to anticipate the coming exile of the people of Judah to Babylon. You remember how the people of Israel, the northern tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes, had been taken captive already and had gone into exile under the boot, as it were, the heel of the Assyrians. Well, in Isaiah's time, the Babylonians haven't yet come, but by the spirit of prophecy, he knows that they will come and that they are coming. And it was his role then as God's prophet, as the watchman on the tower, to warn his present hearers of the coming danger. But also it was his responsibility to commit to writing words of comfort. Comforting words that would then be taken up and read by Israel when they were in exile in Babylon, that they might see what the Lord had said concerning them, and at that point take comfort and strength from the promises of God, not to cast them off. And so Isaiah is conscious, self-conscious in that way, of his message and his role. He is speaking, as it were, through a megaphone of prophecy. And the megaphone of prophecy is such a megaphone that can traverse time itself. If we speak more loudly, we can traverse a greater and greater distance. But with prophecy, Isaiah could speak down through the years to a future generation exiled in Babylon, to his fellow Jews in a future exile in a foreign land. And we see how Isaiah pictures the Jews in exile. They are in poverty. They are in this meekness, it says in verse 1. And this is not the virtue of meekness. Moses was a man meeker than any. He was greatly meek. It is a virtue in that case. But the word can also be used in another way. And here it means broken or downtrodden. They are lowly because they are reduced to their lowliness, not because they have humbled themselves and made themselves lowly. And so they are in this poor state. They're also waiting for the acceptable year of return, when God will appoint them to return to the Lord's own land. They're waiting also for, as verse 2 tells us, the vengeance of the Lord to fall on their enemies. They are waiting. Why? Because they lack the power. They lack the ability to do any of these things themselves. They are poor. So there is certainly here a meaning in these words in Isaiah 61, that Isaiah is speaking to his fellow Jews in exile. There's a fulfillment of them and what they would take of comfort from them. But as is so often the case with the prophecies of Isaiah, in particular, and prophecy in general, the first use, as it were, of the prophecy, the first meaning that it was given, is made ultimately to stand aside, to wait in the wings, so that the main event can have center stage. And so it is. And in this way, what we have before us are the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, announcing himself to his nation, announcing himself to the world as having brought the good news, the good tidings of heaven to the world, as being himself now under the anointing power of the Spirit of God. And so in this way, Jesus, claiming these words, takes them up in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, We'll read a few verses there from verse 17. There was delivered unto him, he's in the synagogue, the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is a transliteration of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so what we have in these words, as a prophecy in Isaiah and as a present truth in Luke, we have Jesus' own explanation of his own commission, of what he has come to do, of the message he has been sent to deliver, of what it was he saw as his great burden to proclaim to the world. Good tidings to the meek, bindings for the brokenhearted, liberty for the captives, and the opening of the prison to the bound. This is how he describes his gospel. And so I want us to look this evening at the descriptions given by Jesus himself of his message, and of the accompanying descriptions that Jesus then gives of the people to whom the message is sent. So we have here good news to the destitute, firstly. We have bandages for the brokenhearted, secondly. We have liberty for the captives in the third place. And finally, we have release for the condemned. These 4 points before us tonight. We have then, first of all, good news to the destitute. The anointing of the Spirit of the Lord God is a powerful anointing. It is empowering the Saviour in his work. It is an enabling anointing for the calling that he has received. And his mission is described, first of all, as a mission to the meek, anointed to preach the good tidings unto the meek, or to the poor, as Jesus translates the word in the Gospels, where we have it there in Luke. Jesus says that he has been preaching to the poor. The poor, as he says to John the Baptist, have the gospel preached to them. And as we said a minute ago, by poor, what we mean here is destitute. We might say poor, and someone can be poor, but not destitute. They can be poor, they can be in the poorer classes, but not utterly, utterly without anything. Well, the word here for poor means utterly, utterly without anything. There's another Greek word for poor, but Jesus opts to interpret from Isaiah using this word instead. And so the message is sent, and Jesus with the message is sent to those who are deprived, you might say, destitute, who have nothing. These are the people he is sent to the empty-handed, to beggarly souls. Jesus is sent. And yet to such souls the Saviour has been commissioned to come with good tidings. He was sent with good tidings to the meek. Remember, I'm sure some of you remembered yourselves, a story that our home mission worker was acquainting us with and telling us with a number of years ago now, I think. He was going round the housing estates of central Scotland. I think it might have been Ayrshire somewhere, but I could be wrong. And he was going round knocking on the doors of the tenements and the flats and the high-rise blocks. And he had in his bag a number of copies of our evangelistic issue of the magazine, The Good News annual edition, an evangelistic focus, as you know, every year there's a copy of that magazine, the Good News magazine. And he came to the door of one flat in a block. And as he knocked the door, there was a little girl who came to open the door. And he offered her a magazine, trying to speak a little bit about why he was there. But it wasn't long before the mother came to the door as well, and she was rather more sceptical and rather more surly and uncooperative and understandably suspicious of somebody going round the doors. But the little girl pled that she might be allowed to take the magazine from the man who came. And she said to her mother, "Look, look, Mum, it's good news. Nobody ever comes here with good news." What a sadness it is, friends, that in Scotland, that is true. That there are many people and places and souls who feel that nobody ever comes to them with good news. How many are destitute of the real good news? Their lives are the very epitome of misery. Well, that is the picture, as it were, for us, of those to whom Jesus is sent with the gospel. They are so poor, they are in desperate need. They're the very kind of people that nobody ever bothers with, that nobody ever goes to them with good news. There's no point. There's nothing good you can say to them. And yet that is the very message that Jesus is sent with and to us, because we are the poor of our text. And it is good news. It is good news that no one else has ever been able to bring to us, and no one else can ever tell us. Good news that unless Jesus brings it, we are utterly destitute of it. What hope is there in this world that we live in for us who are sinners if you were to take away the good news of the gospel? Oh, we are utterly destitute, every one of us. Whatever might be your comfortable state here tonight, however at ease you might be in your soul, if there was no gospel from Jesus, destitute would be our condition. We are born under the curse of God. We live in rebellion against God, and we are the children of wrath, even as others, and we are bound for the wrath of God in a lost eternity. Oh, where is the good news in this life if it will not come from Jesus and his gospel? What good news can be sent to hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners? And yet here is the Messiah himself appearing, as it were, upon the door of our flat in all our misery, knocking and saying, "I have good news to tell you, good news to bring you." Here is this message that is tailored just to such a case, a desperate case, as we who are sinners. Friend, have you heard? Have you heard the good news? Jesus himself has good tidings to tell you. Good tidings to you directly, that meet you in your case of poverty, to address you in your state, and to meet your problems. What is this good news, you must say? Sure you want to know. Friends, is there anyone here and you don't want to know what this good news is? You see, I've heard it all before. I'm not interested. I'm not bothered. Just get it over with. Just get the message over so I can get home. I don't want the good news. What a place to be in. But what is the good news? Well, that good news message, the good tidings to the meek, is opened up in the sections, the next three sections of our text. And so we have, secondly, bandages for the brokenhearted. We have good news for the poor, but we have here bandages for the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus takes up now the image of a wounded person. They're injured, but their injury is not in their leg and it's not in their arm. It's not even a head wound, a head injury, which can be so dangerous. No, it's a deeper wound. It's a heart wound. its brokenheartedness. Now, what was the brokenhearted state of the Jews as Isaiah is writing to them here? Well, it's of course that they're away in exile in Babylon. Not when he's writing, but as they're later reading it, they're taken up, and there they are. A people cast off. A people purged from their own land. A people homeless, hopeless, homesick, lost, exiles, nobodies, refugees, homeless wanderers and vagabonds in a strange land, being taunted by their captors. Sing us a song of Zion. How can we sing a song of Zion in this land? They hang their harps upon the willow trees. So is the sinner, a homeless, helpless soul. What is our exile, friend? We have been exiled from the fellowship of God. Exiled from the nearness of our Creator. Exiled from the warmth of our Lord and His love. What have you known of that in this world of sin? You are still strangers to the gospel. Nothing, nothing of the love of God. Nothing of the company of Christ. Nothing of the fellowship of the Spirit. Nothing of the love of the Father. Oh, you are an exile indeed. The company of heaven is strange to you. And so in this world, we are exiles. And in this world, we are scared and we are alone and we are refugees and we are hurting and we are hunted, the lowest, poorest species on earth. The animals recognize their Creator and are not cast off from Him. But we don't. We are wounded, friends, in the very deepest place of our beings. We are wounded in our hearts. We are broken in the very place where we demand and need to be fixed. We can be broken. We could have a broken arm. We could have a broken leg. We have a broken heart. This is not a sentimental brokenheartedness. You might speak of someone who has lost a love. Oh, they're brokenhearted. But this is not that kind of brokenness. This is a deathly blow. A mortal wound that has pierced our souls, wounded in our souls, injured. We are debilitated by this. We are broken. We are not as we ought to be. Sin has swarmed into the wound that has been made and infected it. We are infected with a corruption that stinks from our sores, from our heart. We are there, a factory now, a producer of the infection of evil. Diseased by our sin, and yet hear the good news to the poor. The message to the brokenhearted is this: I can help. That's what he says. I am sent to bind up broken hearts. I have medicine for a sick soul. I can restore a soul. I can heal a heart. I can give you antiseptic for your sin. I can sterilize your corruption. I can bind up your wound. I am a medicine marvel for the heart. Oh, do you hear this great good news, you sinners, poor sinners here tonight? Do you hear the voice of the Savior in His word this evening? Here He is. He has been sent to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus has the cure for a sin-ravaged heart. Are you here tonight, sore with sin? Are you like a boil? You know the way a boil swells up and all the pus is within it and it's under great pressure? Are you bursting with the sins of this life, bursting with pride? Bursting with anger, bursting with jealousy and with malice, perhaps a sense of injustice and self-righteousness, or perhaps it is with base and lowly and filthy and immoral imaginings and desires. And it goes right to the very heart of your being. Oh, where is the surgeon who can heal a heart like that? Where is the medicine that can save such a diseased soul and cure it? here comes Jesus, saying, I can bind a broken heart. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me for this. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's the first explanation of his good tidings to the poor. A cure for their spiritual illness. A health for their hurting heart. But that's not all. There is more to be said. Thirdly, liberty for the captives. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And here again the imagery changes and begins speaking of captives. Not wounded, but captives. It's hard not for our minds to go to again to the exiles there in Babylon. Captives, led away as they were in chains, force marched across the crescent of the Middle East, to be dumped in a foreign land with no way home. And we have here a promise of their release, of their liberty. And they were, of course, returned even from that exile in Babylon. But we climb up upon the shoulders of that Babylonian exile. And when we do, we can see clearly the captivity of a far greater kind. And the liberty of a far greater time, the captivity of the sinner to their sin. What is the good news? It is healing for the heart. We just looked at that. But what is a heart that is healed if you remain a slave to sin? You might be cleared up of an infection, but you remain in the whole district of that terrible infection, and you're bound to get it again. We think of those who are in lockdown in China, in Wuhan province, because of this terrible infection, this new virus, and the terror and frightened nature of being in that situation, waiting to see if you will become sick, and if you do, what will happen. What good is it for you to be healed of sin if you remain a captive slave to sin for the rest of your days? That's not good enough news. And some here might find that thought familiar. You might find it even uncomfortably close to the thoughts of your own heart. Being washed of sin, I've heard that in the gospel. I've heard that before, and it's one thing. But I can never escape from my sin. Even if I was cleansed of it, I could never get away from it. There's no point in coming to me with such thing. How could I be freed from my sin? Look at the sin around me. Look at the temptations that I fall into. Look at the proneness and the weakness of my flesh. Such is the despair of sin. And such is the deceit of sin and of Satan to keep us trapped, to keep broken-hearted souls from seeking their own Saviour and their own salvation and the liberty that he promises. Listen to Jesus. This is his voice that is coming out of the page into your ears now. This is not the lies of the devil. This is not the fiction and invention of a man. This is Jesus. And he speaks only and always truth. I can liberate you from your captivity to sin, he says, as well as heal you from your bondage and addiction to sin and from the disease of evil. I can heal you and I can liberate you from sin. I can do both, he says. Do you feel you're falling in the deep pit? Do you remember Joseph, before he went down to Egypt, the brothers took him and cast him into a pit and he couldn't get out. Well, a sinner can feel, what's the point in being washed clean? I can't get out of my sin. I can't escape. And there's a bitter cleverness, you know, to the cruelty of Satan. to make you think that when you hear the gospel and you begin to think, I wonder, could that be me? I wonder, could I be healed? Then you go, oh, but I would never escape. I would forever be a captive to sin. Even if he was to bind up my wounds, there's no point. Sin has such a hold of me, I couldn't keep it up. Sin has such a grip over me, a control. I would never be free. I would never be released. I would never be let go. That's a lie. And dear friends, do not fear. Listen only to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who is the truth, because he cannot lie to you. And he is not lying to you. And the Father and the Spirit and the Son all agree. The Father has anointed him and has anointed him with the Spirit and has anointed him with the Spirit in order to bring this message, to announce this message to you. Liberty to the captives. Freedom from the clutches of sin is possible for the sinner. And indeed it is promised by the Savior. He is not lying to you. He is not trying to trap you. He is not trying to hurt you. He is sent to help you, and help you he can. He liberates souls from the dominion of Satan. He can take the most broken-hearted of us here tonight. He can take the greatest slave to sin here tonight and wash that heart out clean and free that heart forever from the control and power of evil. This is his promise. And he is not lying. This is the good news that he carries with him to the poorest of the world, who have no one else to help them. But there's one final aspect to consider. Fourthly, release for the condemned. We've looked at him proclaiming liberty to the captives, but also there is the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Release for the condemned. Satan always likes to play his cards one at a time. He will not show his hand unless he is forced to. What is the last card that Satan plays to the sinner who begins to want away? Who begins to imagine and dream and think, oh, that I was freed from sin. Oh, that I was washed and liberated from its clutches. The sinner who is beginning to seek the Lord even, or perhaps is under such a conviction of sin that they're desperate to be liberated and to seek the healing of God, to seek his help and the liberty of Christ. What is the last ace trump card that Satan loves to play? It is the broken law. He loves to break the head of men and women and children with the law of God. His final card is the law. It's not me who's keeping. You think you can get away from me? That's not the problem. You're damned. You're condemned. You are broken God's law. It's not I who capture you. You're not my slave. You are the prisoner of God's law. See, there's a difference between these two clauses, liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Captives can be bystanders, victims. But prisoners are there because they've been condemned. You've broken the law. You've defied God. You've blasphemed his name. Time and again you've refused his mercy. You've rejected his Son. You are condemned in Adam. You are justly damned You can't escape that. You can't think that's just going to go away. The law holds you. The law condemns you. The law sends you to hell. You might entertain the thought of some daring rescue by which you're liberated from the evil clutch of Satan. But oh, how will you be liberated from the righteous law of God that you have broken? Who will deliver you there? See that distinction? Captives can be innocents, just caught up, bystanders, wretched bystanders, miserable bystanders, but prisoners, they're already, they're in prison. They have been tried and found guilty. They're condemned. They're being punished justly, legally. They're detained legally. They're punished legally. They have to pay the debt. But even to those who are imprisoned in that way, there is good news. Good news is given out by this Lord and Saviour, because he offers not only a liberating of the captive soul, but a genuine release from prison of the condemned soul. Jesus offers a true freedom, not kind of a breakout, not an escape when the guards went looking at a tunnel that was dug under the wall, and then you're on the run. That's not liberty, that's not freedom. Fleeing from justice is no kind of freedom. Jesus offers a pardon from the very judge who condemned you. Signed, a royal pardon, certified by God himself, a full pardon, a complete pardon, an everlasting pardon. God reconciled to the sinner. And all the chains, by the very demand of God's law now, must be released. The locks must be opened. The doors must swing out. There's full release from the death row of sin. Jesus it is who enters into the prisons. He enters into the prison houses of the condemned souls of men and women and throws wide open these bars and these prison doors, the heavy iron doors of the law. And he opens and no man can shut. But when he shuts, no man can open. For now, the door is open, the way is clear, the gospel is proclaimed. But that same Saviour will come one day and close the door and say no more. But now is a day of grace. Now is the time of salvation. Now Jesus is Saviour for sinners, preaching his good tidings to the poor, poor souls. To the poor, broken-hearted sinner, he preaches to you, I am sent to bind up your broken-heartedness. To the poor, silly captives of sin, he preaches to you, I am sent to liberate you from the control and clutches of that sin that you are caught in and snared in. And to the poor, condemned prisoners of the law, he preaches to you, brandishing in his right hand that signed royal document of pardon and full release from all the claims of the law forever. Come, he says, with me, and I will make you free. And if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Come and be free. Oh, it's good news. It's good tidings. When does this happen? In the acceptable year of the Lord. Happens now. That's what Jesus said. Now is this begun to be fulfilled in your hearing. You don't need to worry that God will not really pardon you, that God will not release you, that he will not forgive you. Because this time is acceptable to God. Now, it is acceptable to God for you, the poor, broken-hearted, captive, and imprisoned soul, to be released, to be bound up, to be freed. That is acceptable with God, for you to be given good news. Good news tonight. And I pray, friend, that you use the time then well. Use it well tonight and listen this very night to the good news that you have been hearing. Good news from Jesus to your soul. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't let it go. Tonight, there's good news for you. Don't slam the door in the face of good news. Don't refuse the magazine that is offered by the Lord Jesus Christ, stamped by the stamp and mark of heaven, a pardon for the prisoner, a release for the captive, and a healing for the brokenhearted. That's his gospel. May he bless it to us. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, as we come to thee, we pray that thou wouldst indeed bless to us thy truth this evening and make it stay in our hearts, resonate in our soul, echo in our minds until we say, I must bow before Jesus. I must have this good news come to my home, come to my heart, come to my soul. Oh, that thou wouldst release me. Oh, that thou wouldst liberate me. Oh, that thou wouldst heal me. Bless me with the gospel. May that be the prayer of each and every one of us. For Jesus' sake, amen.